Let's go. We're back. Second episode. Two episodes in one day.
Two episodes in one day, yeah.
Well, the reason why is we're doing this is because today's a special day for us because we just filmed the 50th episode and now we're filming another episode because...
We're 51.
51. Well, the reason why we agreed to this was because there's just so much shit that's happened this week. And
big week. Big week for everything, to be
big
honest.
Big week in the world in general. And... yeah, just right off the bat, there was just too much content to put over into one episode, so we decided we're going to do two. So first up off the bat, Canelo Alvarez fought.
I can't pronounce his first name that well, but it's just Yildirim.
Yildirim. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Anvi Yildirim.
Yeah.
So first of all, going into this fight, do you want to know what the odds were?
Canelo was the favorite.
Do you know by how much? A minus 6,200.
No.
Yeah. I wrote that down right off the bat because it showed up on the screen.
Oh, I can't even.
6,200. That's how much he was. Yeah.
I can't even understand why you would bet on boxing anymore because it's like unless you're watching like two fucking heavyweights go and where anything can happen.
Yeah.
Very hard to bet against Canelo.
Yeah. First of all, Canelo, Yildirim didn't even throw any significant strikes in the first round. What happened was he was
maybe
just trying.
Maybe one significant strike, maybe
a couple jabs. But Canelo just was patient. He used his range. He was being smart. He had swift. He loves his body shots. Canelo is. Loves his body shots. Then come the second round, I don't know why, but Yildirim went into a high guard and exposed his body, which is the last thing you want to do, especially against Canelo. And he just hits you with these massive, massive yellow hooks. As I was watching, I was like, what's the best way? It's like saying you're taking
makes him look like an amateur.
Yeah, it did.
Made him look like an amateur.
It was like putting a champion against someone who's not even ranked. That's what it looked like to me because this was a mandatory fight because what Canelo is doing right now is he's actually defending the integrity of boxing. He wants to fight more often because the issue that people have with some boxers is they just do not fight enough. They're not active enough.
Yeah, is he now looking at maybe a super middleweight fight?
He is correct. He wants to fight four times this year and he wants to take the belt off Billy Joe Saunders. He wants to unify his belts. But the reason why what he had to do, because boxing is all politics.
You got your mandatories.
Huh?
You got your mandatories.
Yeah, you need to do the mandatories.
Which is what Yildirim was.
Which is fine. If you're Canelo, you're young, you got the skills, you just put some more feathers in your cap for another win to your record, put some more money in your pocket, that's fine. But just like, I almost felt sorry for Yildirim.
Yeah, it was his mandatory, but Canelo had to unify the 168.
Yeah.
168 belt. Now, I'm looking at this now, and following his fight today against Avni, it looks like he's looking to fight Billy Joe Saunders for the unified super middleweight championship on May 8th.
Yeah.
So he's looking to have a busy year because it wasn't that long ago, that he was fighting Callum Smith.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago.
Wasn't it in December or November last year?
No, it's in January.
January was this year.
It was this year, January, when he fought Callum Smith. Let me check. But it wasn't very long ago that he fought Callum Smith and put on a masterclass as well. Canelo's staying active. There's only so many years he's got left in boxing, right? And he's just trying to squeeze it out.
Not even that, but he's just trying to survive.
No, you're correct. You're correct. Because 20th of December. It was just before Christmas.
Because do you remember when boxing's now is coming more and more into competition with the UFC because of how active the UFC fighters are, but with boxing, do you remember when Nate Diaz fought against Jorge Masvidal for the BMF belt and that card was so stacked, it was so much, it was so pulled out. Like, even the president at the time, Donald Trump, even made an appearance. The friggin' Rock was there. The whole world was on hold. There was actually a Canelo fight was meant to be fighting and they pushed it back 40 minutes just so they could get UFC fights out
of
the way.
You saw pictures and, recordings of them in the back room and Canelo has just got his legs, his feet up, and he's looking up at the ceiling, and he's going, "Fuck, why haven't we started yet?" The power of mixed martial arts is outgrowing boxing. It's just it's great that there's a few boxing stars out there that are that we're continuing to see. You know, we've got your Deontay Wilder, we've got Canelo, we've got
Triple G,
we've got Manny Pacquiao possibly coming back. Floyd is doing some form of exhibition. We got Tyson Fury. We've got a few stars out there. We got Grant Garcia with Gervonta Davis.
Yeah.
Devin Haney. You know, there's a few out there that are still keeping boxing alive, and it's nice to see that Canelo. He's only 30 years old, right? He's only 30 years old. We usually say you're fighting prime somewhere around 30 to 32, maybe 33 max, and that's usually what we see in terms of fight. You know, your fighting prime, that's what we see. So it's good that he's starting to get these mandatories out of the way, starting to set up these really good legacy fights. And him versus Billy Joe Saunders to unify the super middleweight champion, brilliant.
Love it.
And I love that they're building momentum. You know, he fought in December, right before Christmas.
Yes.
He's now just fought the end of February.
Yeah.
Now they're going to now fight in a few months. May 8th, apparently. Yeah. So, brilliant. Cannot wait for that. Excellent, excellent fight. Quickly, I know we were talking about Ciryl Gane, but I raised to you off air that Dana didn't even turn up to that press conference.
Yeah,
he wasn't impressed, and he skipped the post-fight press conference.
All we're going on right now is just theories. Okay, so what's your theory? Do you think he was a little bit disappointed with the Ciryl Gane?
Well, it's not so much a theory. He said that. So to quote him, it said he wasn't thrilled. He skipped the fight, the post fight news conference. He wasn't interested. Even though what was interesting was there were some other brilliant fights on that card, like the Pedro Munhoz fight. That was really good. It was only one knockout, but still brilliant fights. Yeah. They don't have to be knockouts for them to be really good fights. However, Dana was looking for a finish. He was expecting these two heavy-hitting kickboxing superstars to have a masterclass of striking, which they did, but they were both a little bit more hesitant of each other's power. Now, it wasn't as bad as Francis Ngannou versus Derek Lewis, but I thought it was still a good fight. Yeah. He didn't enjoy... That Gane was getting a lot of attention for being a massive contender in the heavyweight division. However, he's like, hey, think about Francis Ngannou. He knocked out Rozenstruik in 20 seconds. You know, he just says heavyweights are hit or miss. I thought it was going to be a much better fight than it was. I think Jones said it was better in his tweet. These guys need to get a lot busier. I do understand that.
Yeah,
I understand the busyness. Yeah. However, it's the same thing we have with Yoel Romero versus Israel Adesanya. You know, Izzy counter-punching, trying to strike on the outside. Ciryl Gane did this exact same thing, trying to strike him outside. As soon as he got his back anywhere near the fence, circled away, came back into the middle of the cage, and Rozenstruik just gave it to him.
Yeah,
now, I like Rozenstruik, but he stayed so stationary. He didn't really move forward. And then when he actually had... Gane actually up against the cage, he could go up with him and just squash him and put so much. He could grapple him, he could push him up against the cage, he could just continue to put a lot of volume on him in the clinch. Even just get close in the clinch, elbows in the clinch, striking, gas him out. You know, even some Camaro foot stomps for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
But he didn't. You know, he let Gane actually go, oh shit, I'm right up against the fence, this is a dangerous position, circle away, come back in the middle, actually press Rozenstruik into the cage and grapple him. I think Rozenstruik, conditioning-wise, I think he was fine. Gane's definitely better conditioning-wise. Yeah. But I can't understand why Dana was that upset about it. You know, there were so many... It's kind of disrespectful to everyone else on the card that you might want to talk about.
I don't know. Maybe he had somewhere to go. Maybe he had an emergency. Maybe he just wasn't happy. It could be a whole bunch of things.
Dana's a funny bloke sometimes. Dana's a funny bloke when it comes to like what fights he likes.
He can't have great fights all the time.
I still think it was a good fight.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have great cards all the time. Let's just say to a casual fan, they don't really know much about Rozenstruik or Gane. Gane's
no.
To a hardcore fan like us, you know what I mean? That's fine, but like, because we know a lot, we really love, but you walk down the street and you look at your casual fan, and you're like, yo, they're going to say Rozenstruik. They're probably going to tell you what, didn't Francis mole that dude? But not many people know about who Gane is. Very few people know about who Gaon is
right now.
I hope
they start to notice Gaon. I really think Gaon will get more recognition now, and I could definitely see him as a future UFC champion. He's so good on his feet. So good. So fluid. His movement is brilliant. It really throws up Rosenstrike, and you can't... you can't fault Rosenstrike for not trying to get involved when Gaon's a scary dude too.
Yeah.
Frank Mir. Strange that he is fighting in a boxing match now against Antonio Tarver. And Antonio Tarver is past his prime as well.
Yeah, he's way past his prime. First of all, I sent you this and I was like, I sent you a screenshot.
Scott was confirmed yesterday.
Yeah. And you go, oh, what? I had the same response. First of all, Jack, why? Why is he doing this, Frank? What do you have to prove? You are a pioneer of UFC. You are a pioneer of mixed martial arts. You are one of the most humble fighters ever, and that's a fact. And I love you, and you're also one of the most feared grapplers ever.
Brock Lesnar won't like that.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar doesn't think Frank Mir is a very nice guy.
No. Yeah. And then you got Antonio Tarver, Antonio Magic Man Tarver, the one who took down Roy Jones Jr., who everyone thought was unstoppable. And Antonio Tarver hasn't fought in boxing in years. I actually don't know. It must have been a little bit before my time, but it's quite some time. Antonio Tarver's in his 40s and Frank Mir's...
No, 52.
He's 50. Really? Wow. Now, it's just... I don't get why. I'm sure they both got money. I don't know. Maybe they're just getting bored or something, you know?
Frank Mir is the... It's hard to say fresher fighter, but he's been a little bit more consistent, you know. Had two fights in the UFC, got released after a two-fight losing streak. Then moved to Bellator, lost to Fedor, had two more fights, lost one of them, won against Roy Nelson. So his most recent fight, he did win against Roy Nelson in Bellator. However, these are two very aged competitors, you know. Definitely heavy hitters. But far past that prime. Yeah. And he won by a decision.
He hasn't
back in 2019.
Yeah. He hasn't... Antonio Tarver hasn't fought since 2015. He was a light heavyweight, though. He was a southpaw. He's a big dude, 6'2", you know. He's a pretty good boxing record with 31
and 6. He's an ex-champion. Very...
Yeah, great. He was an ex-two-division champion.
Yeah.
He was the... looking at his record, he was the International Boxing Organization World Cruiserweight title, and he lost the International Boxing Federation World Light Heavyweight title and the International Boxing Organization, so it was the IBF and the IBO. He lost to Chad Dawson back in 2009, and he's fought at Cruiserweight, and he's won the Cruiserweight titles as well, but he was mainly a light heavyweight. But I don't get why those two would even want to fight each other in the first place. Like, you could not get any more of a contrast between the two.
I found it weird that they were on the undercard of the...
Oh, they're on the undercard.
Yeah, the it's not a main event. It's on the undercard of the Ben Askren versus Jake Paul fight. So they tried to legitimize it a little bit by having Frank, you know, they've got Ben Askren, ex-UFC, ex-Bellator, ex-1FC a fighter. And then they've got, you know, Frank Mir versus Antonio Tarver. Frank Mir, ex-heavyweight champion in the UFC, moved to Bellator after losing a couple of fights in the UFC. I haven't seen him fight since 2019, so that's about 1.5 to 2 years ago. And then we've got Antonio Tarver. Hasn't been boxing for a long period of time. Back in 2015 was his last fight. And you'd recognize him. He's actually from the... Do you remember the Rocky Balboa movie?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, he was the fighter.
He was Mason Dixon, the heavyweight champion. So, but that was that Rocky Balboa movie was back in 2006.
Yeah, that was a long time. That was after he was retired as well.
Yes, that was after he retired. I think it's difficult because Frank Mir is not a boxer.
Yeah.
Antonio Tarver is a boxer and he understands the sweet science. However, Frank Mir's younger.
Yeah.
11 years younger.
And he was always a grappler.
Always a grappler.
He was a big heavyweight. He was a smashing heavyweight, but he was known as a grappler. He was known for his heel hook over Brock Lesnar in his debut.
Mm.
You know,
it's very weird. It's a weird matchup.
It's a matchup that no one saw coming. Nobody asked for. And I don't know, what is it? Like, the bookings for this was like, how, why are they even wanting to cross over? I think it's just because of their status as both fighters. They carry the fans with them and they're just trying to make a little bit of extra money because, you know, they're both competitors.
To be honest,
it's a 10 round as well. It's
Frank Mir, not in the UFC anymore. I don't know if he's still in Bellator because he fought back in 2019. However, COVID happened. So 2020, bit of a gray one for most people. Mm. But
didn't you say, oh, I think I know why. I remember when we did an episode of the podcast where you talked about...
It'll be for money. It's always for money.
He tried to get into bare-knuckle boxing, but his agent said it wasn't completely confirmed.
Right, I understand. Yeah.
So maybe bare-knuckle boxing wasn't working for him or he was trying to get a deal.
I just think it's money.
Yeah.
Boxing, that's the most amount of money you're going to fucking get. That's where the cash is. The boxing is... That's where the money happens. Yeah. That's where all the money is, essentially.
Anyway, let's talk about some beef. Some very, very juicy beef within the MMA world right now. So,
well, not really MMA, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So, over the weekend, we had it's still going on right now, it's the ADCC Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Championships. And before coming in on the last episode of the podcast, we talked about Gordon Ryan, and he's up against this guy called Andre Galvão. I think that's how I say his name. I'm just going to call him Andre for the time being. Andre is a guy who everyone is talking about. You know, he's a very, 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 very high class Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. And Gordon Ryan's right now is considered the king. He's undefeated. He hasn't lost in years. He's a multiple time ADCC world champion. And him and Andre have been going back and forth a lot lately. It's pretty much been Gordon and many other black belts in different organizations up against each other. Because right now, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is at an all-time. It's growing. The sport itself is growing in terms of popularity. Now, Andre said that he wanted to fight Gordon, but he would only do it unless he was paid like $1 million or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he set a very high price. And he actually... Well, when they fought the other day, that was the WHO, like, you know, who's number one.
Yeah.
So WWNO.
Yeah.
And he actually beat Roberto Gimenez. He did a he just dominated him.
Yeah.
He managed to submit him within the round. And then following that, and you get pretty grainy footage. Andre actually flips him the finger.
Yeah.
And he says something, and Gordon actually tried to go and shake his hand.
Yeah.
However, Andre tried to give him the finger.
Yeah.
And then Gordon Ryan gets in his face. Gordon gives him a slap.
Oh, no. They had the interview first.
No. They had the slap, then the interview.
Oh, they had the slap, then the interview.
They had the slap, then the interview. And then after the interview, they got in each other's face again.
Yeah. So what happened? Yeah, so they had the slap. So that was the order of things. And then there was the interview. And then what happened then was they start talking between the two. And then there's this dude that just tries to butt in. He's wearing like some sort of kitten t-shirt. And he's wearing glasses. And he's got long hair. And it's like... And then there's all these memes that came out said when a white belt tries to stop beef between two black belts. Or when you're super underqualified for the job, but submit your resume anyway.
You could see John Danaher was the one in the middle.
Yeah, he was so chill.
He didn't really take it very seriously. He was just like, oh, come on, guys. Because he's a bit older. He's a bit more mature. These two Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu stars are just like full of testosterone, full of energy. They just want to get at each other. And John Danaher's like, oh, my God.
He's just calm. He's very, very calm.
Yeah.
He's I'm surprised. If I could approach a lot of life with that level of calmness, oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Because if I was in the middle, if I was in Charles' place, I would be shitting myself. I would just be, I'm not getting involved. And John stepped in between. And then Gabby Garcia walked over and made everyone look tiny.
Oh, she's a scary.
She's a scary dude.
Like, that's not a
chick. She's a chick. Yeah, so okay. She's a scary chick, my bad. I've never seen like anyone even close to that. I've met female bodybuilders and she's just
I want to know what kind of juice. Another level.
Huh?
What kind of juice she on?
Oh, some Portuguese stuff.
Like that's like horse.
Some Portuguese bullshit.
Some like horse or like cow steroids. Something like that.
Oh, like I think she just sucked all the testosterone out of like three men and just absorbed it. Like, you know, you watch Dragon Ball Z, right?
Mm.
You know, Cell, that thing that uses its tail to suck it. She's like done that. She's just, you know, that scene where that the Cell just sucks the life out of that man and just turns into nothing. That could be like,
she's taken all the testosterone. Yeah, I think literally she just like gets the steroid profile of like three massive bodybuilders and just takes all of it herself. Because she's, okay, so.
But no one's on her level. No one is on her level. The issue with Gabby Garcia is that there is just not enough talent pool. Like, did you see?
No, they don't have, they don't build a female in a lab big enough for her.
Like, there was literally a photo that I saw on Flow Grappling. I'll show you right now. And it was Gabby Garcia against one of her opponents. And I could not, I mean, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's all skill, you know. It's absolute respect.
To a degree.
Yeah.
You know.
But then I just could not have seen any more of a mismatch in terms of just size. Like,
everyone,
look at the size of her shoulders compared to this, her opponent's shoulders.
It's as big as her head.
Her head is literally bigger than her head. Like, it's massive. Not even that, but the size, the sheer comparison of her arms. Like, her shoulders and her traps are literally thicker than her arms.
That's scary.
That's just unbelievable. And she's even, like, so irritated because people were calling her out saying, oh, she gets an easy run, she gets a free run. She wants to fight the men now. Good for her.
Yeah, good for her. She's got the steroids of a man. Yeah. She's got the testosterone of a man. But, yeah, interesting with Gordon Ryan versus Andre Galvao. So hopefully that may happen in the future. However, I think Gordon Ryan actually has a different opponent coming up.
Yeah, he does.
I don't think he has Andre coming up in the future. I think he's got Wagner Rocha.
Yep.
And that's going to be his next opponent. We don't know how that's going to go with Andre Galvao. Andre essentially just set the price very high. And that's one way of kind of pulling yourself out of competition. When you put the price that high, it doesn't paint the biggest picture that you'll fight the best of the best out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not that often that, I mean, these grapplers make a lot of money, right? But I don't see that. It's uncommon for them to demand $1 million when, you know, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like Gordon Ryan has a lot of name value, so he could probably make that.
Well, it's because of personalities.
Yeah, but Andre. Yeah, I don't know. Even as big a star as he is, I don't know if you've got the name value enough currently.
Yeah.
And at this point of time to ask for that type of
money. Well, it's good to bring attention to the sport because attention is what sells the pay-per-views, sells the streams, and it gets people going up and people follow the personalities. You know, we've talked about it countless times in this podcast, and it's good. It's good that they're doing it. What's wrong with a little beef, you know?
Mm.
You know, what's wrong with that?
100%.
I mean, anyway, so... Ooh, finally, One Division has picked up.
Yeah, took them so very long. Solid episode.
Solid. I'm impressed. I'm pleased because it was a big throwback to all the previous Avengers movies.
Yeah, went through a lot of her timeline that we didn't see. I wasn't too sure if Agnes was going to be a therapist or something like that, but technically she kind of was.
Yeah.
She kind of just went through, we got to see her background, you know, the Salem Witch Trials.
Yeah.
Because she said that her anniversary with Ralph is the same anniversary as the Salem Witch Trials, which is like, I think, June 2nd or something, July 2nd, which essentially means perhaps her partner is the devil or Mephisto or whatever. Mm. So that could come up in the future. It's funny because the way it's kind of been set up is in the trailer is that for the last episode, Vision and Wanda are going to, you know, they're going to fight for their home, which means they're probably going to fight this version of White Vision that essentially that sort of been faking about. Because they said that Wanda stole the body.
Yeah.
And essentially, she didn't. She created
Vision.
She created it. So there's a few things I want to touch on. The last episode, most likely... What's her name? Agnes. Agatha Harkness. And they've also got a battle sword, which means it's probably going to be a very large episode. It's probably going to be an hour long. Great. Very happy with that. The thing I wanted to mention, though, was essentially there's two things. There's there's the Monica Rambeau actress has actually said the last episode is going to be a tear fest. There's going to be something sad. As I could probably predict the fake Vision is probably going to go bye-bye and he's going to have to say goodbye to her.
Yeah.
Or it's the kids because she fabricated the kids. Perhaps the kids are going to go. I don't know if that's going to happen because they've already shown that she's like created beings on her own. And these are the actual comic book correct, you know, son and two sons. So not too sure if they're going to stick around. Don't know.
Yeah.
The other second thing I want to speak about was they've actually said there was one massive cameo that has not came up yet.
Okay.
That we haven't had. We've had Evan Peters, who's essentially fake Pietro.
Yeah.
So that's kind of faked the start of X-Men. So X-Men has not started yet. They've said that a massive cameo is going to happen. And I'm going to predict this cameo is Doctor Strange. I think it's going to be Benedict Cumberbatch, and that way it really does flow in with Doctor Strange, and perhaps Benedict Cumberbatch comes at the last bit, fucks up Agnes.
Yeah, because Agnes. If you think about it, it's got to do with wizards. You know what I mean? It's got to do with witches and wizards, and if you think about it, I feel like Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange, they draw some sort of power from this something similar. They have a similar origins. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Well,
one thing I was impressed was he actually uttered the word Scarlet Witch, because when Wanda and Pietro were introduced to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they weren't called Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. They were just called Wanda and Pietro of Maximoff, Maximoff twins. So, and it's not in line with the X-Men storyline. So now she was always known in the comics as Scarlet Witch, you know, and now there's like an actual special meaning to her name, which Agatha Harkness sort of states at the end of the episode. She's like saying,
some research into that, and actually, in her origin, Scarlet Witch was just her alias, right?
Yeah.
But they actually retconned that in the last 10 or so years. Scarlet Witch is actually a title.
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch is a title of the level of witch you are. And her biological mother in the comics was also a Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see that they did kind of ruin the Pietro thing being the X-Men. However, they did show Wanda was a witch before she even interacted with the stone. You know, she did a probability hex on that explosive device.
Yeah.
It didn't detonate, right? Because she did a probability hex on it. And then later on, when she interacts with the stone, you can see that image of her with the costume comes in that silhouette and then it fades. So perhaps it was showing a future of her costume in the future.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. Because now she's like living up to her mantle, living up to her title. But the design of Agatha Harkness at the end of the episode when she's in that costume, I was like, woof. They kind of like really brought it out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, scary. Yeah.
And then they had she had those claws as well. And I was like, woof, geez.
Black claws.
Claws. They're really, really trying to bring it out on her. I hope this finale finishes off the episode. Hope, because, you know, it was a very, you know, up and down. It was pretty, last episode before that was pretty boring. And
now you have White Vision.
Yeah.
White Vision. White Vision's supposed to
be. Do you know anything about White Vision?
White Vision in the comics was, they brought back Vision. However, they weren't able to, they fixed him, but he didn't have the personality that he had before.
Oh, okay.
So this White Vision is kind of it's the same body.
Yeah.
However, he's being used as a weapon in this show. And he's kind of void of personality or emotions. Maybe that could be a way of, you know, Wanda bringing back Vision for real through that. I don't really know. Maybe meshing the non-corporeal Vision that she knows with the proper personality with the corporeal version, which is the body, mashing that together. I don't know. However, you can tell that Sword's been very dodgy, saying that Wanda stole it when really she didn't, and then used her magic, her chaos magic, to actually use this, you know, cosmic radiation.
Yeah, that was crazy. Vision. And then she creates her own Vision. Like, she was literally that powerful, because technically, she gave him the Infinity Stone as well.
Yeah, we don't really know how that goes. I don't know if she, you know, we know that they essentially the cosmic radiation was, you know, the Big Bang, and then they had the five Infinity Stones, which created the Big Bang, and then that radiation is considered chaos magic, which she is able to manipulate from wherever she got it from. Could she maybe create an Infinity Stone?
Don't know.
Well,
because she is considered one of the most powerful beings in this Marvel Cinematic Universe.
She's certainly quite OP now because she's fucking... She just went through a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
And that she just snapped. And then it's funny how she snapped, created it, and then that was the start of the show. The show had only been going for like a week or two.
Yeah.
It's only been going on for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That entire period of time. So... yeah, I think it was very sad to see that Vision was getting cut up and all. Yeah, that was brutal to see.
That was brutal to watch. And one thing I was it also explains the theory, because on the Halloween episode that they had, there's a point where he talks to Agnes in the car and he goes, "Oh, you're an Avenger, can you help us?" And then he goes, "What's an Avenger?" I'm like, "Oh, surely he knows."
So his mind was not wiped from knowing he simply was never born before.
Yeah. So I think she sort of created her own little vision that's away from the whole of the Avengers. It's just them two. And
I would just predict that perhaps in episode 9, the very end, this mystery cameo is Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
I feel it's Benedict Cumberbatch. And perhaps he'll come in and he'll team up with Wanda to beat... Agatha Harkness and maybe seal her away or whatever. Something like that, because we don't even know who's the person that's behind Agatha Harkness.
Yeah.
But it's all very interesting, and it's
Dormammu.
Dormammu.
Yeah.
He's already kind of been shown in Doctor Strange and I don't know if they're really gonna fleshed that out.
It makes sense though, it'd be Doctor Strange, because again, wizards and a more powerful wizard.
But there's lots of cosmic beings, not just Dormammu. There's lots of ones. I think they have another one. I can't remember his name, but it starts with C. And
Sinestro? No.
That's Sinestro. That's DC. That's the green. That's Green Lantern.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Or Yellow Lantern. Yeah. No. It starts with a C, but his powers come from that magical book. We still have no information about that book either. But there's a lot of WandaVision episode 8 probably gave us more questions than clarity. But a lot of interesting stuff coming up. I do think Doctor Strange will be in that last episode for sure, though. Spider-Man 3. Now announced with a teaser trailer. We now know that we saw some actual fake titles for it, and now we know there's the real one, which is Nowhere From Home. And I think perhaps that Peter Parker, the one we know in the MCU universe, is actually going to be thrown into probably a different world.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see maybe a Sinister Six. We know Electro is coming back through Jamie Foxx's rendition. And I'm telling you right now, if they pull off Andrew Garfield and Tommy Maguire as Spider-Man, that would be incredible.
Yeah. What's going on right now is actually Tom Holland he went on Jimmy Kimmel. Or Jimmy Fallon, or one of the two. And then they were asking, what is it? Are they in it? And they says they're not in it as of now. So then everyone, but there's photos of them on the set.
Are there?
Yeah, there's been photos of Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield on the set.
Yeah. Interesting if they could maybe, if that's fake, or we have no idea.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's correct, because everyone's been posting about it and commenting it. And then I was like, okay.
So everyone's so excited for
Even if they were visiting, what were they doing there on the same day?
It would be a cameo. I do believe they're in the movie, either as a cameo or as a major character. I really do hope major character, though. I really hope major character. I hope it's not some shitty little cameo like Ezra Miller in The Flash.
Oh, no.
I really hope that they actually are major characters and they all team up against Sinister Six. That'd be insane.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
I don't know when Spider-Man 3 is assumed to be...
It's going to be this year. It's this year. I think it's at the end of this year. I think
maybe December.
I was told, my memory's a little bit foggy, but November, December, yes.
Okay. Yeah, it looks incredible. I can't wait for the teaser trailer. So not just the normal trailer instead of the teaser trailer. It sounds like perhaps it could be like a post, kind of like post Spider-Man 2 world where we saw that Mysterio was considered the hero. And the public kind of think that Spider-Man's a terrible person.
Yeah.
And now he's got to deal with being the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man when nobody really likes him in his neighborhood.
And also everyone knows who he is now.
Everybody knows
it. Everyone knows it's Peter Parker.
Exactly. So interesting to see the other two Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's literally how they've gone that far real quick. I'm just trying to think maybe because what was it? Everyone hinted that Daredevil was going to be in the new Spider-Man as well because there was going to be a trial and Daredevil is the one who like is his, Matt Murdock's his lawyer. Now in the comics, Daredevil's actually been like a mentor to Spider-Man. He's actually got him off. There's been times where Peter Parker's been charged and Matt Murdock's been his lawyer. Or there's been times when Daredevil and Spider-Man team up because they're both red.
Well, not just because they're red.
They used to call themselves the brothers in red or something like that.
Yeah. But it's also because they both live in a similar area.
Just a different
area in
New York. So one's in Queens, the other one's in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. And then it also flows on to Deadpool. Now, we don't know if we're going to have Deadpool in the MCU, although we did see the flow over with like the X-Men cameo. It'd be really cool to see Daredevil in there. If they could... That's a lot of cameos to cross over. I mean, the Daredevil's a smaller cameo since it comes from the TV show.
Yeah.
But
it's a shame they cancelled that.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show. Yeah. But Daredevil plus Andrew Garfield plus Tommy Maguire's renditions of Spider-Man, incredible. And then you have no idea if there's any Doctor Strange stuff in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that could...
Very excited for that.
Yeah. Well, one thing I really want to hope that happens is when this movie comes out, like it kind of sets things up further down the line because I feel like there's going to be more than three. I feel like maybe it might set up Sinister Six, but I don't think it will be the Sinister Six movie. You get what I mean?
I hope it is Sinister Six before setting up because they already set it up a little bit with little teasers.
Well, it's just because they don't want to, I don't know, maybe they don't want to play their card too early because there's two plots. You got Sinister Six and Peter trying to clear his name. But until we see a teaser trailer, who knows? But, you know, imagine.
Proper trailer.
Anyway, I don't know when that's even going to be dropped either.
Maybe a mid-year.
Mid-year perhaps. But one thing that is coming up very, very soon is the Jake Paul versus Ben Askren fight. Now, we've been talking about this for a while, but Showtime Boxing now has taken eyes and rights over...
They've paired up with it, and now it's going to be higher production value.
Yeah.
A little bit more accessible for most people, as well as Showtime typically does good high production quality pieces on the lead up to the fight. You know, they did that with Mayweather versus McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
And look... They're doing it with Jake Paul and Ben Askren. I don't really see the point with Showtime coming in, but it just means it'll be higher production level and probably easier for most people to watch. But I'm not super interested for that fight. I always come back to that. I still think that Ben Askren beats Jake Paul in cardio and experience as an actual athlete.
Have you seen his boxing vlogs?
Whose?
Ben Askren's.
I have not. And they're going to make me really sad. But
no, that he's a bit better. I have a little bit more confidence in him now.
Yeah, it's more the head movement that upsets me. I don't think I think technique-wise, that gap can be filled. It's more the head movement. I feel like Jake Paul is younger, be faster, obviously. Probably a little bit more durable. However, Askren, he's one for absolute durability. Take a train to the face, to be honest, and he'd still go over that. It's just can't tap into grappling. He's obviously got a really good cardio base due to wrestling. I want Ben Askren to win. I think Ben Askren will win. It's just it needs to go past a decent amount of rounds for me to be happy about it because I feel like the way Ben Askren could beat Jake is trying not to just absorb punches, because he quite often does that and then takes people down and then wins the fight. He needs to make sure he doesn't absorb punches as much as he usually does in MMA fights. He can't take that many because it's going to go by points. Ben Askren's route to victory against Jake Paul, clinch work.
Yeah.
Just hitting him to the body, continuing to hit him. I think he's also an unorthodox striker because, you know, Jake Paul's used to training with these people that are proper boxers, amateur or pro, and they understand the sweet science and they're doing correct technique. Ben Askren's not going to do a lot of the sweet science moves that you're used to. Yep. He's going to, you know, push down in your neck. He's going to make you feel really uncomfortable. And I think Ben Askren's going to do that. He's not going to go there to box as much. He's going to go there to more just outwear you and properly fight you. Properly just, it's going to turn into a scrap. I think that's the way Askren wins. Not by being technical, by having a scrap. I think Askren just has to be time coming into the clinch and do damage in the clinch. Mm-hmm. Every time he gets in the clinch, he needs to smack him to the body and continue to hit him with shots, because Jake Paul doesn't have a massive amount of reach, like nothing crazy. Askren, he's got kind of short arms. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really have very big arms compared to his body. Ben has to get close in the clinch and he has to work hard and not just get stuck in the clinch and then they break him apart. Get them close, break him apart. He needs to, as soon as they get in there, damage. Then get broken apart.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's not doing any work, they're going to split him, and then that's just energy he's just lost. So
mm-hmm.
I want Ben to win. I think he'll win. Do I think it's the easiest fight for him? No, because it's a boxing fight and he's not a boxer.
Yeah, correct.
Another thing I wanted to bring up was, and it's, I'll bring you through the story with this because I did bring this up
earlier. This is an interesting story.
So City Kickboxing, obviously, New Zealand team, although they do have some Australians. You know, you've got Alexander Volkanovski that commonly goes to City Cup kickboxing as well. You've got Kai Kara France, Carlos Ulberg, Israel Adesanya, Dan Hooker, Brad Riddell. So you've got a lot of really high quality New Zealand kickboxers that are now UFC stars. And they often on their uniform have the silver fern, which is commonly used by the All Blacks, the New Zealand rugby team. And New Zealand rugby team, the Kiwi team, they're notorious for just, they're incredible. They're incredible on the rugby field. They do so, so well. They're always winning the championship. Always, always, always. And I don't really follow it that closely, but they definitely destroy the Wallabies most times.
Mm-hmm.
Someone from the All Blacks actually reached out to the UFC and said they requested that City Kickboxing does not use the silver fern on their uniform anymore, as it's trademarked by the New Zealand rugby team, the All Blacks, and therefore the All Blacks should be the only team that could use the silver fern. And we actually saw that, you know, Israel Adesanya and Dan Hooker actually commented on it. Izzy in an interview went and said, you know, that doesn't really make sense. You know, we're all supporters of New Zealand. It doesn't really make sense for that to come out. And Dan Hooker simply just had a picture of him on his Instagram showing on his shoulder the silver fern. And it was him saying, you know, you can come and get it. As in, you know, you can fucking try and take it off me.
Yeah.
The silver fern is commonly used on most New Zealand uniforms. However, it's most notably when you think of silver fern.
Yeah.
It's the All Blacks, the Kiwi rugby team.
So just to give some like little background insight, the silver fern has been accepted as a symbol of New Zealand's national identity since the 1880s. Mm-hmm. To Maori, the elegant shape of the fronds stands for strength, stubborn, resistance, and enduring power. To Pakeha, I hope I said that correctly, Pakeha, the fern symbolizes their sense of attachment to their homeland.
Yeah.
So that's just a little bit of a background, but doesn't really... It's strange because the fern is a symbol of national identity. Yeah,
the fern is for the New Zealand country, not the New Zealand rugby team.
Yes.
However, in the last day, they've actually cleared that up. After Izzy and I think Eugene Berryman actually had a chat about it as well. Once they said that the silver fern, like, we don't understand that and we're not giving it up. The UFC actually got note from the All Blacks and they actually said, actually know we're huge supporters of the all New Zealand sporting teams, and we're not going to reach out for any issues about the use of the Silver Fern. So it was a big issue within the last couple of days. However, it has been resolved that they've kind of gone back on what they said. And I don't think they've gone back on what they said. I think there was one person, some annoyed person from the Kiwi rugby team, mm-hmm. or someone to do with the All Blacks, some connection to the All Blacks, that was unhappy and tried to pull down the New Zealand MMA fighters. And
it's also used in the military, that symbol.
It's used in the military as well, so I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It doesn't make sense. You don't have a monopoly over a fern.
So yeah, especially when it's your home country as well. Why would you want to? Because it's a sports representative. MMA is a sport.
Perhaps some people didn't respect it as much as a support.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't support it as much. Yeah. So,
and for Dan Hooker to stick to his guns and say, come fucking take it off me, you know what I mean?
It's proper Dan Hooker talk.
That's the shit. That's proper. That's why we call him the Hangman.
Exactly.
Imagine if he changed his name to the Silver Fern.
That'd be hilarious. Also, lastly, Dan Hooker.
Oof.
Sorry, not Dan Hooker.
Hardy.
Dan Hardy. I just talked about Dan Hooker.
Slip.
Slip. Dan Hardy has actually said he's waiting on a contract or a request from the UFC to fight Matt Brown. Dan Hardy hasn't fought in a very long period of time. And Matt Brown has continued to stay active outside his kind of era in martial arts. You know, Matt Brown just coming off a loss to Carlos Condit. By unanimous, I believe it was unanimous decision. Matt Brown is very much keen to get started on Dan Hardy. So Dan Hardy has actually been eyeing coming back to the UFC and enjoying a post-retirement fight.
Yep.
And he actually said live on Twitter, he actually put out, who would like to, fight me? I want someone to fight me. I need this post-retirement fight to be worth it. We see Matt Brown in the comments. He sent a little gift saying, I can help you out there. Matt Brown's clearly put up his hand for someone who is in a similar era as him in the UFC from when, their careers kind of align. However, Dan Hardy, retired from MMA altogether and continued to be an analyst and a commentator. Mm-hmm. And Matt Brown actually continued his career. So Dan Hardy hasn't fought in a very long period of time. However, he's very keen to start going again, and he wants the preparation to be worth it by fighting Matt Brown.
He's 38 as well.
Is he 38? He's 38.
Dan Hardy's 38. Matt Brown's not too far off him.
I think a very similar age.
Yeah, well, Dan Hardy wants the fight to be in England, but that's an issue because right now England's still going through the whole COVID situation.
Yes.
And back into lockdown, it's pretty rough over in England. So, but I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast today. Florida is the state at the moment that just has, because it had a crowd for the Canelo fight. So what they think they want to do right now is they were hoping to move one of the UFCs upcoming to Florida because they want everyone back in front of those nice large crowds and all that.
They don't want to start doing these big UFC events if they don't fill up the seats to 100%.
Yeah, that's a thing. And so I don't know what the COVID situation right now is like, but hopefully it's going to really start to get more and more under control now that we have a vaccine. And, if there's two people who at least to some degree deserve, to go out on a high in front of those lights, which they've sacrificed so much for, and Dan Hardy and Matt Brown, because Matt Brown's a pioneer. Dan Hardy, he's known for his fight against GSP. He went on a pretty bad losing stint, and then he ended up winning his last fight in the UFC. And he has
last two fights.
Yeah, last two fights.
Dwayne Ludwig and Amir.
Yes.
Amir Sadollah.
Yeah.
And that was back in September 2012.
Yeah, there you go. So
that's 9 years ago.
9 years ago. So, and Dan Hardy's put so much effort into the UFC as a commentator and analyst in general.
Neither one has been very far from the UFC. No, Dan Hooker. No. Stop saying Dan Hooker. Dan Hardy has been analyzing fights very, very regularly. Mm-hmm. He's kept his mind sharp. Hasn't completely, some fighters, when they leave the UFC, they never want to watch a fight again.
Yeah.
They don't want to look at it again. However, Dan Hardy, he left on a 2-fight win streak. He retired from the UFC. He's put his gloves up. but he's continued to love the sport
yeah.
and analyze it really well. Matt Brown has done kind of the opposite. Instead of mental conditioning for the UFC, he's more so done the physical conditioning.
Yeah.
He's continued to stay physically active
yeah.
and mentally active.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dan Hardy has just said, he wrote on February 26th, he said, I'm waiting on the call from the UFC, ready to accept.
Yep.
So he's ready, he's game. It sounds like he must have been training for a considerable amount of time prior yep. to this. And I would love to see him back in there. You know, he's definitely, when you think of a lot of UK superstars, I think Dan Hardy is one of them for sure. Michael Bisping, Dan Hardy. I know Conor McGregor is from Ireland. That's outside the UK, but you know he competed in UK promotions mm-hmm. like Cage Warriors. So I want to see Dan Hardy against Matt Brown. Yeah, I think it'd be incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible fight.
Good way for both of them to go out.
Similar age as well. Similar age. I think. Let me just check on Matt Brown's age.
Yeah.
He is 40 years old, so he's even older than Dan Hardy. However, he stayed physically active. So. Interesting to see how that goes. Interesting.
Who would be an alternative? I think maybe Diego Sanchez.
Dan Hardy actually put his hand up against to fight Diego Sanchez as the retirement fight.
Yeah.
However, that just never materialized. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Diego Sanchez is going to fight Cowboy though in May 1st, yeah. I think, and that's going to be their either May 1st or May 8th, and that's going to be their last. He's going to be his last fight. So that's kind of that ship has sailed. Yeah, I don't really know how that's going to go with Dan Hardy finding an alternative to Matt Brown, but sounds like Matt Brown's keen, Dan Hardy's keen. The UFC now just needs to get it started and get it going. And I hope they don't wait too long for it to be in England because it's probably not going to happen. I think just get it started.
Yep.
Just get it going. Yep. Dan Hardy's used to traveling to Fight Island to watch and commentate the fights. Matt Brown's been there before. I think let's do it. Let's do it. I think that'd be incredible.
Yep.
All right, thank you very much, guys. This has been our kind of like our second podcast today.
Yeah.
Spoke about a lot of stuff today: MMA, boxing, WandaVision, Marvel. definitely a lot of issues surrounding combat sports. And hope you guys really enjoyed it. Thank you guys very much. Peace. Appreciate it. Bye bye.